So today we'll talk about queer stories in the Bible. Yes, there are queer stories in the Bible. If this is your first time to attend and to listen to this, to know this. So, sexuality in the ancient times, so review lang, no, para magets natin yung magiging discussion today. Sexuality in ancient times is patriarchal, meaning men only, lalaki lang ang merong sexual freedom at sexual agency. And not just any men, not just any man. Lalaki who is free, a man that is an adult, a fully anywhere from late 20s onwards. Late 20s onwards. Basta hindi na feminine looking yung guy or yung man. Then that's the only human being na merong sexual agency. Everyone else is a sexual object of the man during that time. Walang sexual agency ang women. Women were either for the pleasure of the man or for giving birth. Later, madi-discuss natin because, especially sa Old Testament, sa Hebrew Testament, salvation in the Old Testament is not about going to heaven. Actually, wala kang masyadong mababasa sa Old Testament about going to heaven except for Enoch and Elijah. Going to heaven. The salvation in the Old Testament is about continuing your bloodline as a man. So women are only important in as much as they are able to give birth to a boy. No? So, kaya walang sexual agency ang babae. Hindi nila iniisip na sexual din pala ang babae in the ancient times. Okay? A young boy from anywhere from young boy up until about mid-20s can be a sexual object of an adult man. Doon ang gagaling ang word na pederasty. Or in our time today, which is considered as a crime, is pedophilia. But in ancient times, pederasty is a custom. It is a known practice. Marriage in ancient times is not about love. It's about, economics, inheritance, political allegiances. Diba? Game of Thrones. Ano ba kang Game of Thrones? Game of Thrones? Wala. It's about allegiances. 99% of the time, men will have their legal wives. But most likely, they do not love each other. That's why you have what we call a concubine. The concubine, ang concubine hindi yan prostitute, ha? Iba pa ang prostitute. A concubine is usually the one that the man has sexual and intimate relations with. And it can be one, it can be two, it can be three, it can be another boy. Not just a woman. So yan ang sexual context in the ancient times. The other thing, anal penetration before was a known practice by soldiers to torture and abuse their enemies. Pag natalo yung kabilang army, they can rape the other, not because they are gay, not because they find pleasure and intimacy in penetrating the other soldiers, but because kung meron man pleasure doon, ang pleasure doon ay yung dominance of the other. Pinakita natin yan yun sa first session when one Roman general who became an emperor fucked another general who also became another emperor. So, So yan ang context. So the konting review lang para maintindihan natin ang session today. Lastly, textual analysis. Anong ibig sabihin yan?
Kung anong type ng literary form.
Literary form.
Ano pa? Poem, song, narrative.
Narrative. Ano pa? When you read the Bible, hindi ka pwedeng kukuha ka ng sitas kay Romans, kukuha ka kay Isaiah, iboboltes 5 mo without considering the different context of the two. When you interpret a verse in the Bible, you also have to read yung buong chapter noon at yung buong libro. Hindi pwedeng kuha-kuha ka lang, pitas-pitas ka ng verse, and then that's it. You interpret it according to your, ano. Ngayon, mapapractice natin siya. We will use historical context today, and we will analyze the stories. Kung bakit siya bakit kinonsider natin siya as queer stories in the Bible. Ngayon, one of the stories, well, two of the stories ay napakahaba. It runs several chapters in the book of Samuel. Dadaanan natin yung buong kwento, pero ang babasahin lang natin from the text are yung significant portions niya. Pero dadaanan natin yung buong kwento. Okay? Okay po ba? Okay. Sige. So we will first learn about the story of Jonathan and David. Sino si Jonathan? From your Bible school days or catechism days? Or sino si David? Siyempre, mas kilala si David. David ba siya?
David and Goliath.
Yes. Yung story ni David at Goliath. So, David who eventually became king of Israel. Si Jonathan, who is Jonathan? The son of King Saul. So, Prince Jonathan. Okay, so titingnan natin ang kanilang bromance today. At ang kanilang pag-iibig ang hindi pwedeng mangyari. Tingnan natin.
When Saul saw David go out against the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is this young man?" Abner said, "As your soul lives, O king, I do not know." The king said, "Inquire whose son the stripling is." On David's return from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with the head of the Philistine in his hand. Saul said to him, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David answered, "I am the son of your servant Jesse the Bethlehemite."
Okay, so yan yung second time na na-meet ni King Saul si David. And David is considered as a young man, meaning he is anywhere from about 16 years old to about 25, 27 years old. Yan ang range pag tinawag kang young man in those times. Pag tinawag kang boy, it's from baby to about 12, 13 years old. So young man is about 16, 18 years old to about 25, 27.
When David had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David, because he loved him as his own soul. Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that he was wearing, and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword and his bow and his belt.
Okay, so magkasunod yun, yung verse kanina is from chapter 17, diretso kagad nakasunod nito. Unang beses nakita ni Jonathan si David. The first time that Jonathan saw David. At ang sabi dyan, the soul of Jonathan was bound to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Kung tatagalugin natin, at ang kaluluwa ni Jonathan, ano, tinali o ano, ay umugnay sa kaluluwa ni David. At minahal at inibig siya ni Jonathan tulad ng pag-ibig niya sa kanyang kaluluwa o sa kanyang sarili. And then the last part, because he loved him as his own soul, Jonathan, hinubad ni Jonathan ang kanyang damit na kanyang suot-suot. Ibinigay ito kay David, tinanggal din ang kanyang armor at pati ang kanyang espada at ang kanyang pana at ang kanyang belt ay ibinigay kay Jonathan. In short, naghubad si Kuya at binigay lahat kay David. Anong implications niyan sa tingin niyo? In ancient times, well, number one, if you know the historical context of ancient times, di ba prinsipe si Jonathan? So, mas may privilege, royalty eh, no? Mas may privilege si Jonathan kesa kay David. For Jonathan to give ang kanyang royal armor, royal weapons, maski yung kanyang robe, royal robes to David, it means it is a very important, it is a very significant act of affection. Hindi yan mag-best friend. Because in ancient times, binibigay lang ang iyong armor, ang iyong sword, and in your weapon, especially if you are a prince, a warrior prince, it is only given to your, sa tingin nyo, kanino lang siya binibigay? It is given to your wife, if you have a wife, or it is given to your mother, or to your father. Ngayon, sige, consider natin, baka nga mag-best friend lang. Pwede naman yun. Pero ang ibibigay mo lang, siguro sword lang, or yung shield lang, hindi ang buong. Because if you give all of those to the other person, these are symbols of your own life. These are symbols of your privilege and your royalty. So to give everything to a peasant shepherd, David was a shepherd. No royal entitlement, probinsyano, taga Bethlehem. For the prince to give all his all to David, it only means hindi yan mag-best friend. Hindi yan mag-best friend. Hindi yan brotherly love. So ito yung action na nakasulat sa Book of Samuel, ha. Hindi lang niya binigay. Bakit niya binigay? Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Minahal niya ang isa pang lalaki katulad ng pagmamahal niya, hindi lang sa katawan, pagmamahal niya sa sarili niyang kaluluwa, ang lalim. So i-skip natin yung ilang verses. Bilang isang young man, napatay niya si Goliath, nananalo siya sa mga war against the Philistines, si David. So, natuwa ang mga tao kay David. Buong court ni Saul ay natutuwa kay David. So, nagseselos tong si King Saul kay David. At natatakot siya na ire-replace siya ni David. So, unang beses niyang trinay patayin si David. And the first time that Saul tried to kill David, nag-appeal ang Jonathan. Jonathan appealed to the king, to his father, the king. At ito yung sabi.
Saul spoke with his son Jonathan and with all his servants about killing David. But Saul's son Jonathan took great delight in David. Jonathan told David, "My father Saul is trying to kill you. Therefore be on guard tomorrow morning. Stay in a secret place and hide yourself. I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak to my father about you. If I learn anything, I will tell you." Jonathan spoke well of David to his father Saul, saying to him, "The king should not sin against his servant David, because he has not sinned against you, and because his deeds have been of good service to you."
So another clue. Sabi doon, because Jonathan took great delight. Delight pala si David, no? Delightful. Hindi natin binasa kanina, pero earlier, way earlier, in the book of Samuel, David is described as having beautiful eyes and a handsome young man. Pag isinulat sa Bible yung ganyang description, ibig sabihin, beautiful ka talaga. No? Maala Bel-Ami, Bel-Ami, men.com. Huwag na tayo maglokohan, mga kapatid. So, at yun nga. So, another clue is, in the text, it is said, Jonathan took great delight of David when he made an appeal to his father, the king. So, hindi natapos doon. Patuloy kasing naging popular si David kasi nga bukod sa gwapo siya, bata, young man, at napaka weird, hindi man weird, parang it is an amazing thing that a young man, wala namang masyadong alam sa military conquest, sa pakikipaggera, ay nananalo laban sa kalabang army. So he continued to be popular among the people and among the household of King Saul. So patuloy na nagseselo si King Saul. So dalawang beses pa niya ulit trinay patayin si David. And then one of the things bago niya trinay patayin ulit si David, ipinakasal ni King Saul ang kanyang anak, kapatid ni Jonathan, daughter niya si Michal kay David. Kasi isip niya kung asawa ni David ang anak niya, ang kanyang anak na babae, hindi magtatangka si David sa kanya. Or palitan siya, whatever, ganyan. Remember again, marriage in ancient times is not about love. It is about political allegiances. It's about political economic strategy. At pag binasa niyo ang buong kwento ni David, halos parang estatwa lang si Michal sa kanya. Wala siya talaga, walang isinulat na affection for Michal. Although sinabi Michal loved David. Okay?
David fled from Naioth in Ramah. He came before Jonathan and said, "What have I done? What is my guilt? And what is my sin against your father that he is trying to take my life?" He said to him, "Far from it. You shall not die. My father does nothing either great or small without disclosing it to me. And why should my father hide this from me? Never." But David also swore, "Your father knows well that you like me. And he thinks, 'Do not let Jonathan know this, or he will be grieved.' But truly, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, there is but a step between me and death."
Okay. So sabi ni David, alam ni daddy mo kung anong meron tayo. alam ni daddy mo that you like me very much. Nakasulat. Nasa Bible yan.
If I am still alive, show me the faithful love of the Lord. But if I die, never cut off your faithful love from my house. Even if the Lord were to cut off every one of the enemies of David from the face of the earth. Thus Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, May the Lord seek out the enemies of David. Jonathan made David swear again by his love for him. For he loved him as he loved his own life.
No, paulit-ulit yan. Sa kwento ni David at ni Jonathan, paulit-ulit na binabanggit that Jonathan loved David as his own life, as his own soul. Jonathan delighted with David. Jonathan loved David as his own soul. Paulit-ulit yan. And they made a covenant na even their descendants must be always be united together. Kasi nga, in ancient times, salvation for them is the continuation of your bloodline. So ang eternal love, ang sumpaang wagas, para kay David at kay Jonathan ay ang kanilang dalawang lahi ay patuloy na magkaugnay. Okay. So yun yun. Jonathan made David swear again. Sumumpa ka sa iyong pagmamahal para sa akin. For he loved him as his own life. So ang kwento kasi niyan, tumakas na si David kasi nga ilang beses na siyang inattempt patayin ni King Saul at yung pag-uusap nila doon was, aalamin ko kung talagang papatayin ka ng tatay ko. Ngayon, anuman ang mangyari, isumpa mo sa akin na ang ating mga lahi ay patuloy na magiging magkaugnay. Ganyan ni Jonathan. Pero aalamin ko kung gusto ka talagang patayin ng tatay ko. So, si Jonathan umuwi sa palasyo, piyesta noon, may piyesta, may celebration, at aalamin niya kung papatayin talaga si David. So nandun sila sa dinner table, in the royal dinner table. Andun ang family, andun ang court. So Game of Thrones banquet. Yan, di ba? Andun ang hari, andun ang ano lang. Sa King's Landing. Ngayon, hinahanap ni King Saul, asan si David? Bakit wala siya dito? Baka meron siyang ginawang hindi naaayon sa batas, kaya hindi siya pwede mag-celebrate kasama natin. So, nung several, piyesta kasi yan, no? So, several days of celebration. So after the day of the new moon, David's place was still empty. Wala pa rin. So nagtataka ang haring si Saul. Asaan si David? Why has the son of Jesse not come to the feast either yesterday or today? At sumagot ang prinsipe. David earnestly asked to leave, umuwi sa Bethlehem. Siyempre hindi yun totoo. He said, let me go for our family is holding a sacrifice in the city. My brother has commanded me to be there. So now, if I have found favor in your sight, let me get away and see my brothers because of the fiesta. So ano lang yun? Excuse lang. So yun yung sinabi niyang dahilan sa kanyang tatay bakit wala si David sa fiestang ito. So nagalit ang tatay. Dad became angry. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said to him, you son of a perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame and to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Analyze muna natin yan. Sabi niya, you are a son of a perverse and rebellious woman. Ilan bang mga Bex na pag nalaman ng tatay na Bex sila, ang unang sisisihin ay ang nanay. Masyado mo kasing either masyado mong binibaby or hindi mo dinidisiplina, etc. ganyan. Do I not know that you have chosen the son of Jesse to your own shame? Hindi ba't pinili mo ang anak ni Jesse sa kahihiyan mo at sa kahihiyan ng kahubaran ng iyong ina? Ano kinalaman ng kahubaran ng nanay mo kung mag-best friend lang naman kayo? At bakit nagagalit ang tatay mo kung mag-best friend lang kayo? Kung sa utak ng tatay mo, mag-best friend lang kayo. Kung sa utak ng tatay mo, kaya siya nagagalit kasi papalitan ako nito bilang hari at sinusuportahan mo naman siya. Bakit merong to the shame of your mother's nakedness? Which actually means genitalia ng ina. Ikinukumpara siya sa kahubaran ng kanyang ina. Eh hindi ba nung unang verse naghubad siya at ang mga royal symbols of power ay binigay niya kay David? So alam ni Daddy. Alam ni Dad. Dad knows. At dito na nga, lumabas na yung kanyang lumabas na sa sarili niyang bibig na alam ko kung anong meron kayo. So, this also means I am really meant to kill David. Not only because David is a threat to me politically, but because you love him. Because you like him. Because you are bringing shame to our family. Ano yung unang sasabihin ng tatay? Nakakahiya sa ating pamilya.
May anak ako, bakula. Ako ang hari. I'm a warrior king. And my son
ay nagkukos ng kahihiyan sa aking pangalan. So ito na ang huli nilang pagkikita.
In the morning, Jonathan went out into the field to the appointment with David, and with him was a little boy. He said to the boy, "Run and find the arrows that I shoot." As the boy ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. When the boy came to the place where Jonathan's arrow had fallen, Jonathan called after the boy and said, "Is the arrow not beyond you?" Jonathan called after the boy, "Hurry, be quick. Do not linger." So Jonathan's boy gathered up the arrows and came to his master. But the boy knew nothing. Only Jonathan and David knew the arrangement. Jonathan gave his weapons to the boy and said to him, "Go and carry them to the city."
Kasi nung bago naghiwalay si, unang beses naghiwalay si David at si Jonathan na aalamin niya yung gusto talagang gawin ng hari kay David, sabi, nag-usap sila na magkikita sila sa isang lugar. Sa isang talahiba, nakasulat yan, in the fields. Sa isang talahibang walang tao. At ito na yon, kikita tayo. Magkita tayo doon, ito magiging signal ko. So, yon. At pinauwi na ni Jonathan yung kasama niyang boy, which is 12 years old, 13 years old. So, umuwi na. So, siya na lang ang nandun. Lalabas sa pinagtataguan niya si David.
As soon as the boy had gone, David rose from beside the stone heap and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He bowed 3 times, and they kissed each other and wept with each other. David wept the more. Then Jonathan said to David, "Go in peace, since both of us have sworn in the name of the Lord, saying, 'The Lord shall be between me and you, and between my descendants and your descendants, forever.'" He got up and left. And Jonathan went into the city.
Yeah, Wedding vow, no? Sumpaan sa kalahiban. Hindi ko na-explain. It explains itself. And David wept the more. At ito ang huli nilang pagkikita. Ito ang huli nilang pagkikita. They embrace each other and they kiss each other, wept while doing it, umiiyak habang ginagawa yon. And David wept the more, all the more. Na-imagine na, nung bata kayo, ano yung na-imagine si David? Macho, lalaking lalaki, no? Militar. The last time that they saw each other. And the next time na mamimension si Jonathan ay nung patay na si Jonathan. In the second book of Samuel, chapter 1. Kasi namatay na si Jonathan at si King Saul. Sumugod ang mga Philistines at bago makubkob, bago mahuli si Jonathan at si Saul, actually si Saul napatay, si Jonathan napatay siya. Si Saul naman, ayaw niyang makuha siya ng buhay. So, itinarak niya ang espada niya sa lupa at he killed himself. He plunged himself onto the sword. So, namatay silang dalawa. So, the second book of Samuel begins with the first chapter of the second book of Samuel begins with the lament of David, ang pagluluksa ni David. At si David, according to the author of second book of Samuel, ay sumulat ng kanta para kay Saul at kay Jonathan. The last part of the song of the lament is this part, the last part.
How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women.
The other thing that you will not notice unless you really, really read the entire book and the entire story of David, many people were mentioned to love David. But the only time, the single time that David said that he loved someone was this verse. 7 to 8 people mentioned in the Bible loved David. But the only time that it was ever written and mentioned that David loved someone was his love for Jonathan. At ang anong sabi? Passing, higit pa sa pag-ibig ng mga babae. Now, the other thing that you need to know about, bakit bawal sila? Bakit bawal silang maging magjuwa? What is the sexuality in ancient times? It can only be between unequal. Meaning it cannot be both men of the same age, both free men. Pwede lang maging magjowa kung 40 years old si Jonathan at 18 years old si David, or the reverse. Or kung babae, kasi nga, inferior ang babae. But two fully grown men or fully grown young men cannot be of relationship with each other. Kasi nga, patriarchal ang society. Punta tayo sa next queer story. Kay Ruth at Naomi. Sa Old Testament, sa Hebrew Testament, wala kang mababasang law against women intimacy. So meron tayo between men, yung Leviticus 18:20. No man shall lie with another man as one lies with a woman. Sa Deuteronomy, merong prohibition about there shall not be among the people of Israel a Kadesh and Kedesha. Kadesh and Kedesha. Na tinatranslate nila as sodomite, pero wrong translation yun. Ang translation nun is male prostitute and female prostitute, which is actually temple prostitution. Pero there is nothing in the Old Testament, Hebrew Testament, that is mentioned about women being sexually intimate with each other. Bakit? Balik tayo sa context, sa sexual historical context noon. Lalaki lang ang nagsulat ng iba't ibang libro ng Bible. Number two, ibasa nga po sabay-sabay.
Ancient men thought of sex only through their lens. Only men had sexual agency.
Therefore, number three,
they never knew or imagined that sex and intimate relationships were possible among women.
And lastly,
very few to almost no resources we have about our relationships with women. Although we have story of
Iphis. Yung story ni Iphis, it's a Greek story na yung manganganak yung asawa ng isang, I don't know, Greek lord or something. Papatayin niya daw yung bata pag ito ay lumabas na babae. So nung lumabas yung bata babae, pinalabas nung nanay na at nung kumadrona na ito ay lalaki. So pinalaki siya na parang lalaki. And when she came of age, pinakasal siya sa isang babae. So that's one of the very very few, halos walang resources about lesbian relationships. Kasi nga ang sex noon ay para lang sa lalaki. Okay? So let's go to the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. Okay. Sino nakapanood ng Rainbow Sunset? Hindi pa napapanood? Rainbow Sunset? Siyempre, magkaibang context yan, pero Rainbow Sunset will be the closest of the story of Ruth, Naomi, and Boaz. The closest. Magkaiba, pero you can draw some semblance to it. At ang story ni Ruth, there are only two books in the Bible that are named after women. Si Ruth, the Book of Ruth, and Esther. No? Pero lalaki pa rin nagsulat niya. Okay? And the Book of Ruth is usually told, and this is valuable to the Jews, during the Festival of Weeks, which is Pentecost, to the Jewish tradition. And today is Pentecost. Okay, so tingnan natin. Balik ulit tayo sa context, palaging context. Ano ang kasal noon? Para saan lang ang kasal noon? Political, sa mga mayayaman, sa mga hari, sa mga prinsipe, it's political. Pero sa 99% of the population, marriage is economic. And yun nga, to prolong your bloodline. Economic because 99% of ancient peoples were really, really poor. And women were considered as property. Women, hindi lang sila walang sexual agency, they did not have any economic agency. Meaning, mabubuhay ka lang kung ikaw ay under ng iyong tatay o kung ikaw ay may asawang nagtatrabaho o may kayamanan. Ganyan. Pag wala ka ng asawa at wala kang anak na male, mamamatay ka sa ancient world. Okay, as a woman. O hindi naman, pwede, you will be forced into prostitution. Pag wala ka ng choice. Another context about women in ancient times, a young girl becomes a woman as soon as she menstruates. As soon as she menstruates, siya ay pwede nang ibenta ng kanyang tatay sa highest bidder. Okay? Or, pare-pareho naman sila mahihirap, mawawalan siya ng isang pakakainin sa kanilang bahay. No? That's the historical context of women back then. So, ang story ni Ruth at Naomi, chapter 1, si Naomi may dalawang anak at sila ay Hudyo. They are Jews. May asawa siya, may dalawa siyang anak na lalaki. Nagkaroon ng famine sa kanilang lugar. So lumipat sila sa Moab. In the land of Moab. Hindi naman OFW kasi lahat sila lumipat. Nag-migrate sila sa Canada. Nag-migrate sila sa Moab. Ngayon, sa Moab, namatay na yung asawa niya. Namatay yung dalawang anak niya nakapag-asawa ng dalawang Moabite na babae. At isa doon si Ruth. The other one, anong pangalan sa mga MCC?
Orpa.
Orpa. Okay. Orpa. Ngayon, at some time, namatay yung asawa ni Naomi, yung tatay. Namatay din yung asawa ni Ruth at ni Orpa. So, ano mangyayari sa kanila? Tapos wala silang anak. So, they will literally die because they do not have men in their lives. A woman also cannot inherit. Pag may babae, wala nang lalaki sa kanyang buhay, anuman yung pagmamayari niya, pupunta dun sa kamag-anak.
The nearest male relative.
So yan ang background story. Ngayon, sabi ni Naomi, ang plano ni Naomi, uuwi na lang siya, babalik na siya sa Bethlehem. Sa Bethlehem. Kasi meron pa siyang mga kamag-anak doon. May verse pa dyan na don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me
Mara.
Because my life has become bitter.
Because Ate Mara.
Someone told me that Mara meant bitter.
Okay. So sabi niya sa kanyang dalawang daughters-in-law, sabi niya sa kanila, bumalik na lang kayo sa mga pamilya nyo sa Moab. Balik na lang kayo doon. Kasi wala na kayong mapapala sa akin. Kahit mag-anak pa ako muli, hindi nyo naman hihintayin yung aking magiging anak ay lalaki at, di ba? So, hindi posible. So, magsiuwi na lang tayo sa sarili nating mga lahi. Now, so there are clues. Again, there are clues about this intimate relationship. Number one, in verse 14, chapter 1 of Ruth, it is said that Ruth, so nung pinapalayas niya na yung dalawa niyang daughter-in-law, sabi, si Orpa umuwi na, si Ruth, sabi doon sa chapter 14, clung to Naomi. Now, the word that was used in Hebrew, so textual analysis tayo in the original language, ang ginamit na word is davak. Davak. Yan ang Hebrew niya, davak. The word dabak means to cling. And the first time that it was mentioned was when the first time that Adam saw Eve, Adam clung unto his new wife. So the same word, to cling, was used to describe how Ruth clung to Naomi. And there are other stories in the Old Testament where the man clung to his wife. Second clue, the greatest vow used in Christian weddings, the basis of our vows today, ano yung vow natin sa kasal? For sickness and in health, for richer or poorer, till death do us part. Galing yon dito.
So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, there will I be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you."
Okay, now. Yang vow na yan ay kinakanta in older days, 90s, 80s, kinakanta yan, the Song of Ruth. Kinakanta yan sa mga Roman Catholic weddings. Not knowing that this is a vow between one woman to another woman. Mas matindi pa nga eh. Kasi sa vows natin ngayon, till death do us part. Ito, sumpain ako ng Panginoon kung maski kamatayan ay ihiwalay ako sa'yo. Death cannot even separate me from you. And this is between two women. Ngayon, palagi natin nai-imagine sa mga nakakalam ng story of Ruth, sa kapag pag nababasa natin sa Bible yung salitang widow, ano na-imagine nyo? Ilan taon yung widow?
50s.
Hmm? Anong age? 50s? 60s? Mga ganyan. Masyonda na. Modern thinking yan. Ang life expectancy among peasant people in ancient times is very early. Saka ano sabi ko kanina, ikinakasal ang batang babae as early as nagka-menstruate, meaning 12 years old, 13 years old. And minsan nga, as early as 9 years old. Kasi may mga batang 9 years old, early nag-menstruate. So, you can imagine, I will approximate the age of Naomi to be about mid-30s. And I will approximate the age of Ruth around mid-20s or early 20s. So, hindi nyo ma-i-imagine yan na super tanda, super bad, ano. No? So, ganun. Now, bago tayo pumunta sa ending, kasi 4 chapters lang ang Book of Ruth. Maikling kwento lang to. Just 4 chapters. You can read it in 30 minutes or less. So, in between yan, ang kwento niyan, so, umuwi ng Bethlehem si Naomi at si Ruth, at si Ruth ay nag-start mangalat ng mga nababagsak na mga trigo, grapes, kasi harvest time. There is a law among the Israelites that anything na hinarvest na nalaglag, huwag mo nang kunin, for that should be for the poor and the widows and the orphans. Okay? Diba? Kasi pag nag-aani, minsan may malalaglag niya, diba? Habang nag-aani kayo. So lahat ng nalaglag, huwag mo nang kunin, ipinag-uutos ni Yahweh, huwag mo nang kunin, hayaan mo siyang para sa mga mahihirap sa mga widows at sa mga orphans. So, ang ginawa ni Ruth para mag-survive sila, doon sa relative, the land na relative ni Naomi, nag-start manguha, mamulot ng mga nahulog na mga trigo at mga grapes si Ruth. Land yon ni Boaz. Si Boaz. Okay? Ngayon, ang plan nilang dalawa para mag-survive sila, nag-connive tong dalawa, isidus mo si Boaz. Isidus mo. Punta ka isang gabi doon sa threshing floor kung saan ginigiling yung trigo. Pumunta ka doon at hawakan mo ang paa ni Boaz. Erotic kasi in ancient times, erotic ang paghawak sa paa. Okay? Foot fetish noon. So, ginawa yun ni Ruth. So, may nangyari sa kanila. Eventually, pinakasalan siya ni Boaz. At, so may nangyari sa kanila, nagkaanak si Ruth. So, in the context of ancient times, dahil complicated legal thing. Diba nga, si Naomi, kasi si Boaz, kamag-anak ng asawa ni Naomi. Hindi nila pwedeng i-claim yung dating property ng asawa ni Naomi. Kasi wala ng lalaki. Diba? Ang natira, si Naomi at si Ruth. Si Orpa umuwi ng Moab. Hindi kasi pwedeng mag-inherit ang babae. So, ang nangyari, nung pinakasalan ni Boaz si Ruth, pwede nang i-claim ni Boaz yung original property nila Naomi na iniwan nila nung panahon na merong famine. Okay? Kakasunod tayo? Okay, nakasunod tayo? So, pinakasalan lamang ni Boaz si Ruth because of two things. For property so that these two women will survive. We don't know if Boaz really loved Ruth. Again, marriages in ancient times are rarely about love. Rarely about love. Nakasunod tayo? Punta tayo sa last chapter ng Ruth.
Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her bosom and became his nurse. The women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." They named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse, the father of David.
Okay, naano natin? This is the last chapter of the book of Ruth. Kanino dapat ipangalan ang anak na lalaki? Sa tatay. Kanino siya pinangalan? A son has been born. Naomi. But the child was the child of Ruth and Boaz. So this is another weird situation if you know ancient times. You know, the context of the ancient time. That a son must always be under the father. But in this case, it has been born to Naomi. And the child that was born was named Obed, who became the father of Jesse, as the father of David. Nasa lahi talaga.
So, ano sabi niya? Mana-mana yan.
Ang same sex lang.
And sino si... And many generations after Ruth and David, Who came?
Jesus.
In the genealogy of Jesus, in Matthew, the only woman, one of two women that was mentioned is Ruth, which is not even a Jew. She is
Moabite.
So, panoodin yung rainbow sunset. The closest, I mean, magkaiba sila, pero yung semblance niya ng Ruth, Naomi, Boaz can be read or can be seen in the rainbow sunset story. Doon naman, di ba, dalawang lalaki, isang babae. Ito, dalawang babae, isang lalaki. Kasi pre-niche to ni Pastor Akakay before when we were in the yellow room. That this is a queer family of three. Two women and one guy. Okay? Okay, our last story before we go to worship. The Roman centurion.
When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, appealing to him and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and cure him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and the slave does it." When Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the heirs of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go. Let it be done for you according to your faith." And the servant was healed in that hour.
So ito ay kwento ng isang Roman centurion. A Roman centurion, hindi naman siya general, but he does lead 5,000 Roman soldiers. So this is a leader in a Roman battalion. Context of Jesus' time. The Jews, ang mga Hudyo ay galit sa mga Romans because they have an oppressive occupation of their land.
Under Caesar.
Other than that, and they are also pagans. They are Gentiles. Actually, okay naman yung Gentiles sila. Pero the Romans are also arrogant people. There were situations where the Romans disrespected the temple. There was a situation where they erected a Roman eagle in the portico of Solomon, in the portico of the temple, which is blasphemous for the Jews. It's idolatry for the Jews. So, galit na galit ang mga Hudyo. The people of Jesus are really angry at the Romans. The Romans look down upon the Jews as primitive, provincial, uncivilized people. So may tension yung dalawang dahil yan. So for a Roman leader of 5,000 soldiers to go out of his way to look for a Jewish prophet, a Jewish rabbi. Na during the time of Jesus, marami ng Jewish messianic personalities who claim to be the Messiah who were also crucified. So hindi lang si Jesus ang crucified. There are many messianic personalities in Jesus' time claiming to be the Messiah who the Roman soldiers, the Roman leaders also crucified. So to the mind of a Roman leader, another rabbi, another peasant prophet, wala lang yan. He's just like the rest of these messianic prophets. But in the story, we are told
that this Roman leader went out of his way to look for this peasant Jewish prophet that's becoming famous. And he was looking for him because his servant is lying at home paralyzed in terrible distress. The centurion appealed, came to him appealing to him, nakikiusap. Bilang isang Roman leader, para makiusap ka sa isang peasant, isang taong kanal, sa kanyang isip, isa tong taong kanal, mahirap, uncivilized, he really lowered his pride. For a servant. In some translations, it's a slave. Slaves back then are not people. They are property. If they are already useless, either I kill you myself or I just allow you to die. Why will I make an effort to save a slave? So that's a clue that this servant is very important to this Roman centurion who went out of his way to look for someone he considers uncivilized. Meaning, this Roman centurion is very desperate. Na kahit sa ordinaryong pagkakataon, hindi ko gagawin ito. Hindi ako makikiusap sa taong tingin ko naman ay isa lamang bulaang propeta. So he went out of his way. Now that the word servant or other translations as slave, the Greek word for servant or slave is doulos. 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 Yan ang literal slave or servant. But in the Greek, kasi ang New Testament ay sinulat sa Greek. So in the same chapter, this is a Greek New Testament, ang ginamit, ang Greek word for servant is pais. And he said to him, Kai lego, kurio o pais. Pais. Ano yung unang pinag-usapan natin kanina na word when we started? Hindi yan. When we started, way back. In the ancient world, a particular kind of intimacy is known. And it is known as pederasty. Pederasty comes from the word pais. A pais is specifically, if you search this, you can search it in Google right now. A pais is a young boy or a young man. So technically, si David pais, no? A young man anywhere from 16 to 18 years old to about 25, 27 years old. That has feminine features. Feminine features. Hindi pa siya nagbo-bloom into a masculine guy. Pais. So, if we translate that, the correct translation, when he entered Capernaum, meaning Jesus, a centurion, a Roman leader of a battalion, came to him appealing, nakikiusap, saying, Lord. Tinawag niya pang Lord. Lord, my pais is lying at home paralyzed and in terrible distress. He said to him, anong sabi, ang sinabi ba ni Jesus? Kasi alam ni Jesus, pag alam ni Jesus, Jesus knows what a pais is. It's known in the ancient world. Lord, kurios, Greek for Lord, kurios. May pais. Sinabi ba ni Jesus? Yuck! Lumayas ka dito. Hindi ka lang pagano, hindi ka lang Romano, meron kang Jowa Bells na Twinkie Bells. Yeah, in the Becky language, a pais is a twink. Daddy. So yun ba sinabi niya? Hindi. Ang sabi niya, I will come and cure him. Pupuntahan ko at pagagalingin ko siya. Anong sabi ng centurion? Anong sabi ni Daddy? Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word and my servant will be healed. Sinong Roman Catholic dito? Raised in the Roman Catholic. Bago kayo mag-commute, ay, si Father, di ba? Before you receive communion, ano yung sinasabi?
I am not worthy to receive the word and my soul.
By a gay man. Well, he's not gay. He's not gay. Because gay is a different understanding from ancient times. Okay, hindi naman natin pwedeng... That's why we call these stories as either queer stories or homoerotic relationships. You don't call them gay. You don't call them homosexual because the homosexual is a modern understanding of sexuality. It's different. Diba? So I'm also, sinabi niya yan, for I am also an authority with soldiers. I believe that as you say it, it will happen. So ano sabi ni Jesus? Truly I tell you, the famous truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and will eat with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. So, hindi ka magtataka, ba't gusto siya ipako sa cross mismo ng sarili niyang mga kalahi. Because there were people around Jesus when this happened. There were Jews. There were followers of Jesus that were around him when the centurion came. And the normal expectation is that Jesus will reject this Roman pagan abomination because he has a Twinkie Bells. The expectation is he will reject this because this is an unclean, not just unclean, this is a oppressor of our people. But as we know, 2,000 years after, Jesus always welcomes and accepts those that are expected to be rejected. So yun ang ating queer stories in the Bible. According to biblical scholars, this story might most likely be true. Not just because it is said twice, but because of the mention of the word pais. In biblical scholarship, the more controversial a story is, the more it is most likely to have been true. Kasi hindi siya inedit out, hindi siya watered down. No? Sa Matthew yan. Si Luke, homophobic ata. Because in the same story was mentioned in Luke, pero ang ginamit niyang word idolos. But Matthew chose to keep the scandalous original, which is the pais. It's 2,000 years. I know, well, hindi naman 2,000 years. It's what? 1,800 years of believing that homosexuality is a sin. May ganong lente. May ganong people will hold on to. If you know about religion, most religious people will, and institutions will hold on to what has always been believed or practiced. That's why conservative. Mismo translation, no? The translation is wrong. The actual translation is wrong. But, at alam niya ng mga translators, the translators know that, pero hindi bibili ng Bible mo pag iniba mo ang translation. Even the most progressive translation which we use in this church, the New Revised Standard Version. New Revised Standard Version yun, yung translation na yun. They did not change the translation to match the original. Because you will, how will your Bible be published and be bought? For example, another, last week, yung Adama, yung doon, yung NRSV medyo progressive na siya kasi kinorekt niya na yung translation to hindi na man. Ginawa niya ng translation, human. And God created the human in God's image and likeness. Male and female, God created them. Tamang translation na yun. Pero in other parts, hindi na. Kasi masyadong controversial.